You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Here we go. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle and on 710sports.com. Brock Heward coming up in 45 minutes. G. Scott this morning. We'll have our open phone lines at 9 o'clock as well. We're still waiting, apparently, for news out of the big meeting yesterday. Yeah, it sounds like there was a meeting. At least that's what Bob Condotta said. They did manage to get together, right? I want to say Russ was there. He was not. Pete and John and, of course, Jody Allen. We don't know who else was there. I have so many questions about this meeting, and almost none of them have to do with the results. Like, we'll find out about the results, I think, eventually.
We don't know if Russ or anybody. Maybe Mark Rogers bugged the meeting.
Maybe. I mean, I think there's a lot of options for how this thing went. Can I give you some of the questions I do have, though, about this meeting? Because I've been to a lot of meetings. I spent, what, 6-7 years here in management, and I've been to a lot of meetings. I've run some meetings. I've been at attending
sure
meetings.
Sure, you've been to a lot of this could have been an email meetings.
I have, yes.
Probably a lot of really tough meetings, too.
I've been to some uncomfortable meetings. I've been to some fun. I've been to some great meetings where a lot got accomplished. And I kind of like meetings. Honestly, as a manager, I like meetings. I like getting people together in a room and kind of the energy that can come out of that if it's interesting and fun. And then I've been to some other meetings, and I've run some other meetings
you've probably run some meetings. Did you bring a bunch of Capri Suns or anything to get morale up?
I've tried donuts and things like that. Yeah, and some of them have gone better than others. You try running a meeting with John Curley in it. You let me know how that goes. It goes about as well as you would think.
Or as well as he wants it to go.
That's exactly right. So here's some questions I want answered. Try running a meeting with the Graws in it. Woo! That was a trip, man. That was more
really?
My, yeah, not me. I didn't have Graz issues, but go back. Ooh, Brian Long and the Graz, man, they got
been in
after
meetings
each
with Graz.
Other.
He must have been feistier in his early years.
Much feistier.
He didn't really say much in the meetings.
So feisty when he first came over here. Anyway, here's some questions I want answered. First of all, who's there? Who do you think is at this meeting? Is it just Jody, John, and Pete? Do they have lieutenants with them? Is Jody like, I mean, does she show up like, I mean, Paul had security wherever he went. I remember seeing him at Seahawks practice one day. He like came out in a golf cart with a few dudes. And I remember talking to him like, hey, how close do you think you could get to Paul? And they were like, don't move.
Don't try it.
Don't take a step in his direction because these four people could kill you with their thumb. And you're like, yep, okay, got it. So like, how many people does Jody have with her? Is there an entourage? Does she have a lieutenant behind her? Does she have like a Jonah from Veep? Like the sort of overbearing, gangly dude, right? Or does she have more of the Tony Hale character who follows her around and like carries her? I don't know. I wonder how all of that goes. So I wonder who's at the meeting. Does John bring like his people? Does Pete bring people as well? Like, who's actually at the meeting? First of all, is it in person or is it on Teams? They're definitely using Teams, by the way, not Zoom. This is, again, Microsoft money.
Yeah.
So they're using Teams. They're not using Zoom.
Season's over now, so they don't got to worry about their protocols as heavily anymore, maybe.
Do you think
so
that this is in person? It's got to be in person, right?
It's got to be in person.
A meeting of this magnitude. On the other hand, Jody could be gallivanting around the world. I mean, she's a billionaire.
Is it on a jet?
I don't know. Do they meet on a jet? Whoa, I hadn't even considered that as a possibility.
Summit in the skies?
There's a great scene in the West Wing where they talk about how like the president needs to meet with somebody, and she literally gets on a plane with him in D.C. to fly to Portland just so that she can meet with him on the flight back from Portland. Right? And he's like, God, my life has changed in so many ways. And you're like, yeah, that's pretty crazy. So yeah, maybe it's on a jet.
I think Jerry Jones was having meetings on his like super yacht when COVID first started. It looks like a spaceship on the inside.
Is that the one that they used for their draft thing, right? Where they showed Jerry Jones, it looked like a little like portal or a porthole that you could get out of.
Paul Allen has the big yacht still, right?
I mean, he did. He had that, tons of stuff.
Maybe
like
that's
that.
Where this meeting is.
So yeah, I guess that's a possibility. I hadn't thought about it. Yes, I hadn't thought about that as a possibility. Where do they all sit? What is the room like? Who leads the meeting? Does Jody lead the meeting? Does she bring somebody in who's sort of like a meeting leader? Does she say, okay, John, make your presentation? I got a lot of questions about all of that. What kind of technology do they use? Because obviously no Apple products, right? Those are verboten.
That's true, yes.
You would think, right? They don't mesh well with all of the Microsoft stuff around. Do you think they have that problem that we always have in every meeting where you have to call the IT person to like get the television screens to work or to like get whatever it is to do the screen mirroring? Have you ever been to a meeting where the screen mirroring works the first time?
No. And they have to do that like 3 minutes where they're trying to kill time and like trying to not talk about what you're about to talk about.
I have a feeling Jody Allen has that worked out for her before she arrives.
You would think. I mean, I always think we're going to have that stuff worked out beforehand. But every time you go to put that flash drive together, whatever it is, or go to the right thing and try to mirror your screen with the PowerPoint presentation, that is a moment of truth right there, man. You are like, I hope this works. Oh, thank God we actually have the thing on there. So that's a bit of a question. I wonder whether she's kind of got like, I mean, she, again, Microsoft, is it sort of a Steve Ballmer kind of a thing? Like, does she have like the whole presentation?
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Ballmer!
Pete showing up this excited.
He's always this excited. This is actually sound from the Seahawks locker room after they won the other day. Right? So you could have that. Now, it seems awkward with only three people in the room, so you would hope maybe there's more of the organization there.
The Ballmer clip is absurd.
Developers.
Again, Microsoft culture. I don't know whether that exudes... around, like everyone has that level. So,
does he just come out and scream this?
I have four words for you. I love this company. Yes!
So, I don't know. I mean, is that a part? Do you think that they have the Wi-Fi password written on the whiteboard as soon as you come in so everybody can immediately try to figure out if they can get onto the right Wi-Fi for the meeting? And then, yeah, I also wonder a little bit about, like, the food, because that is a key to any meeting. I was tweeting about that a little bit yesterday. What kind of food is brought in, like, and what do they each eat? Do they each feel comfortable going back? Like, you ever get a donut at a meeting? You have, like, a 10 a.m. meeting. Somebody brings donuts. You go, get a little top pot or something. You're like, yeah, or I'll take a little old-fashioned. And then you eat your old-fashioned. You're sitting there, and you're like, man, nobody else is going up, and there's still, like, a couple dozen donuts up there. This meeting's super boring, like... Can I go back and get, and then you start thinking about should you get another donut, and then it consumes you and you're not paying any attention to anything else going on at the meeting, and eventually you just have to go get another donut if for no other reason than to just break the obsession in your mind. Now, I don't know whether I'm only talking about me or if this is something people can relate to.
I know I disagree with you a lot, but I cannot agree with you more. I don't know how many times a day I probably zone out thinking about food.
At least 100.
See,
right?
We finally agree on something.
Oh, more. You and I are lockstep. Now, something tells me when I eat those two donuts, it affects me more in terms of the weight that I end up gaining later. But God, I'll sit there and obsess over those donuts. I can't think about anything else if there's food like sitting in the corner. What is the best meeting food?
If it's a morning meeting, there's no question it's donuts, right?
I think so. I mean, bagels is good, though. You get a good bagel spread, especially if they bring in a bunch of different types of cream cheese, a bunch of different styles of bagel. They're not going to be toasted, so that's kind of a different bagel
thing.
Oh, when
we get the fresh salmon here
from
the Outdoor Network?
Yes.
If they're doing this at the stadium, does somebody just wheel in one of the popcorn machines and they hire a couple of the caterer people to come in and make sure they got the Vienna sausages made?
You put a popcorn machine at a meeting? I'd be set. I'll stay at your meeting for as long as you want. If there's like hot buttered fresh popcorn with that smell wafting in the entire time, I'd be all good on that.
I imagine Pete, maybe it's John. I'm trying to think of who would be the most nervous for any of these meetings. Where they're like, they're in their car in the parking lot before they go in, and they're like, all right, you're going to stand your ground. Look, your philosophies are important. You know they are. You've done this a few times.
One shot.
Don't let yourself down.
One opportunity.
I'm just singing along to this whole thing.
I hope this is an edited version.
Would you capture it?
Would you let it slip?
Let me do my job!
All right, serious question about this song.
I imagine that for them.
Is the last verse of that song the greatest rap verse of all time?
The last verse?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is the last verse, the third verse of that song... Where would it rank? Would it be number one? I mean, I don't know that we're going to do this as a ranking best rap verses of all time.
Oh,
because
no,
I think both
that.
Of the verses from Bombs Over Baghdad would be on the list.
Yep.
But like, where would the last verse of that song rank? I would say pretty high.
This is the, okay, I can't grow old in Salem's Lot. Is that the one?
Yes. That whole,
the only opportunity that I got.
Yes, whole, like the way it ends and everything, that's got to be pretty high.
Maybe they asked some really important questions in this meeting.
How much money would it take to make you spend a night? Do you display this as a trophy? Do you have a pet? Do you have a sweet
this guy
pet?
Again.
Do you believe in the power of a curse?
We used to do meetings here. This is a true story. There used to be a guy who came in. He was a consultant here. And thankfully, we don't use him anymore because he said some really inappropriate things in meetings. But he used to have, huh? Oh yeah, there were some rough moments. But he used to have this thing where it was like kind of like an ask me anything, but he would force you to take a position, or he would ask you to ask him any question, and then he would take a definitive position on it, whatever it might be. So I mean, you would have to like, hey, do you think the United States will have a civil war? And he'll be like, no. And then he would like give like a 3-minute diatribe on why there was no chance that would ever happen. Or he would go the other way and say, yes, absolutely. In 10 years, the states will divide because of issues X, Y, and Z. And so it was sort of the same thing. It was sort of the like just like fire off questions and he would try to answer them. And it was sort of like a weird show off thing. Like it just didn't play, I think, the way he thought it did. He thought it was this great exercise, but didn't work all that well.
Do you
well.
Think they have like the PowerPoint presentation that every terrible meeting has where they go through like the state of the team and they make sure we get everybody on the same page before we get started?
I think they actually do that. Yeah. I actually do think that occurs in this meeting.
Interesting.
Right? Like, hey, let's go over what happened this year. This was our record. This was what happened here. This is why we lost this game. This is why we do that. I spent longer than I should have last night. You guys can go watch this. I didn't retweet it because it was that boring, but Wade Phillips. Did you see what he like a 13-minute?
No.
Oh my god! He's not the most. He's great on Twitter and he's kind of a funny dude, but he is not the greatest, most interesting, engaging speaker. But he had they asked him a bunch of questions about what job interviews are like for head coaches, and he said, "Look, they're a lot like regular interviews. Like you're doing it, and they're like, hey, here's my resume, and here's what I've done in my career, and here are some of the players that I would want to bring in, and here's some of the assistant coaches that I would bring in." Like he had it was interesting. He said, "By the way, they don't ask you about X's and O's. Those are for the coordinators. They only ask you about your philosophy and your leadership and all that stuff."
Tell us about a time you failed.
Yeah.
How'd you handle that?
I mean, it is kind of like that, he said. So I thought that was kind of. So I do think they probably do stuff like that.
Can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen?
It's the only thing I want to hear about.
I'm stuck on the food thing, by the way. The real, you know, you have real power when you're the person who gets to send out the like, here's the menu, send in your individual order for the meeting. You ever had like those are great, by the way, but I love the idea of Pete and John like filling out their sandwich order beforehand.
Well, not too far off from this, the very first radio show I ever worked
take
for.
Take a roast beef with a little bit of horseradish. Do you want mayo? No mayo. Right, like just going through that.
How hot would you like your au jus? The very first radio show I worked for, the host got invited to a dinner at Bill Gates' house.
Oh.
And they said it was like that. It was like
sure was.
They just come out and they're like, "And what can I get you?" And it was just anything.
Anything
you want.
In the world? Just I don't want that.
Say it.
No, I want suggestions.
But they had a printed out menu.
Oh, okay.
They're like, if there's anything on here you don't want,
right.
Or if you're craving something.
Right. You're just like, well, I really could go for some caviar. Why, sure, we'll go bring you some caviar.
But I'm pretty sure the host of the show ordered a plain cheeseburger, or a plain hamburger with ketchup.
Oh, that's terrible.
Pretty sure you know who that guy is.
That's a really sad move. Yep. Oh, that's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But they did say they asked you a bunch of questions beforehand, so like the room and the temperatures and things would be tailored to what you like.
Years
you
ago, I worked before I worked in radio. I worked in an office it was a political consulting office, a lobbyist essentially. And the boss, who was horrible, was a terrible guy. He had hired this kid who was completely incompetent to be his assistant, and so he would like ask lunch orders and stuff before we had a meeting. And I remember I was like, "I'll just write it out for you," because every time he would get it wrong. So I wrote like roast beef sandwich, or roast beef /MUST.MAYO and lettuce, pickles, onion, something like that. He looks at it and goes, "Okay, a roast beef sandwich and." What's must mayo? I was like, I don't even know what to do. It's a sandwich. You can't put it together what MUST might mean on a sandwich. I was totally blown away. And if you knew this kid, it wouldn't have surprised you in the least. You've been like, yep, makes perfect sense. I think that kid's now like running the company. 7:15, it's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
If Jody Allen did meet with the top Seahawks brain trust yesterday, as expected, we sure haven't heard much about it. No, not just about what their food orders were, but what they're actually discussing. What were they talking about? What are they doing? Are they going to make a move? Are they going to make any decisions? Despite all kinds of speculation, we have yet to hear of any change to the structure of how personnel decisions get made. Maybe we'll see assistant coaching moves made. Nothing leaked to the media, certainly, last night. Personally, I'd be in favor of some movement on the coaching staff. I think that needs to happen. But the realignment of structure, that makes me a little bit queasy. Yeah, I would want Pete Carroll to focus on what he does best. But I don't know whether an official change is in the best interest of anybody. I'd be worried that it would trigger some sort of unintended consequence. Around the NFL, Houston Texans officially made David Culley their scapegoat yesterday, firing him after just 1 year at the helm. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They finished 4-13 without Deshaun Watson, with a rookie quarterback who developed as the season went on. Even worse, for Culley, this seemed to always be the plan. He only received a 2-year deal with guaranteed money, so it seemed like they were always going to fire him after one season. But even more disturbingly, that makes two of the three black head coaches in the league fired in the last week. And of all of the firings, they were probably the two that were the most surprising. Perhaps one or both of them will get another job. Maybe they'll end up in a better situation with a better organization. But this pattern sure seems to play out over and over again in this league. Everybody ready for this weekend? It is going to be bigger, supersized, flavor blasted, even wilder, wild card weekend for the NFL. They have finally embraced my daughter's philosophy of more is more, and they've added two more playoff games. So, one more day as well. We get it on Monday night. I'm going to go with two upsets, Vegas and New England. Those are my upset picks, and all the other higher seeds advance.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
I think the news coming out of the first baseball labor negotiation session was pretty darn positive as well. No, there was no white plume of smoke, Maura. We did not get the idea of a deal done yesterday. But I thought the league at least brought a proposal that, while it was not good enough for the players, and I understand why people are ridiculing some of their suggestions, it addressed concerns. It moved them in the right direction. It was a starting point to allow them to continue to debate. So without getting too deep into the details, the league proposal dealt with service time manipulation by offering a possible end to the Super 2 system, also offered draft pick compensation as a reward for teams who take their best players on the major league roster to start the year. No, that's not enough, but at least it's a starting point. The union, of course, balked, and many have said the proposals don't go far enough. I agree with that. But I am mildly encouraged by the fact that they engaged in discussions about the core issues at all. How does this end? I don't know yet. But at some point, they're going to have to negotiate through when players can become free agents, what the luxury tax looks like, and a host of other issues related to when players get paid and how to improve the balance, the competitive balance of the game. There's no real news yet. But for some reason, again, I hope more. I'm more hopeful today than I was yesterday morning. I think we'll know a whole lot more after the players respond. Time running out. You got about 2 weeks to get a deal done, as Jeff Passan told Pat McAfee.
I'm not at the point right now where I'm panicking that there are going to be games lost. But once we get to February 1st, if there's not progress, Pat, then that we're looking at spring training being postponed.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. The Kraken did some nice things yesterday, showed some signs of life, but ultimately couldn't put together a complete 60 minutes of hockey and took another L. This time was the third period that did them in. They took a 1-0 lead into the final 20 minutes, then gave up two goals in the first five, never recovered. 2-1 the final from St. Louis. It is now 11 losses in 12 games for anybody keeping track. You certainly could not pin this one on the goaltending. Chris Drieger was magnificent. I think he jumps off the page, man. You watch him, and he just looks athleticism. Maybe Grubauer is a better positional goalie and doesn't need, you know, an economy of movement or something like that, but Drieger just shows off his athleticism. He's so active in the crease. I would like to see a lot more of him and find out what he looks like if and when he were able to get into a rhythm. At this point, I don't think there's much of a downside in trying to find out. Congratulations to Jordan Eberle, the lone representative to the All-Star game in Vegas for the Kraken, the winger named to the team. For the second time in his career, first time in 10 years, he's also been their best and most consistent player this season. Don't know what happened to the Warriors yesterday. They got blown out by Milwaukee. Giannis doing his thing, a triple-double there. Upset in New Jersey as well. Thunder dominate the Nets. I know they're now in Brooklyn. I just screwed that up. Nuggets over the Blazers, and Memphis beats Minnesota. That is everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour. They're not the New Jersey Nets anymore. They're now the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets.
It's only been like, what, 8 years since that's been the case? But I'll figure it out eventually.
So with baseball being locked out, and I know that you can't do any team activities.
Just real quick. Don't you think the Nets should have changed their name when they moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn? The New Jersey Nets sounds right. The Brooklyn Nets doesn't sound good. It's just not a good name.
Can't say I ever really thought or cared.
I have not thought about it until this moment. But like maybe that's why I can't like call them that. I know they're Brooklyn. I know that's where they are. The Brooklyn Nets is a bad name.
Don't try to make excuses for yourself.
I'm not making excuses, but isn't that a bad... I am. All right, I'm making excuses. But isn't that a bad name? They should change that.
I didn't think of it as a bad name.
The Brooklyn Nets? It doesn't flow. There's no mouth flow to it or anything like that. Not that everything needs to have, like, alliteration or anything, but, like...
Just another syllable in it?
The New Jersey Nets sounds right. The Brooklyn Nets does not. They should change that thing. I'm sorry, what were you going to ask?
Baseball being locked out, no team activities, official team activities. So, but there's nothing that was happening until spring training or catchers and pitchers report, right? So currently, it isn't quite affecting any of the players as it stands.
No,
correct?
Other than we're not getting off-season movement, right? Trades, free agent signings, roster building, construction, all of that stuff.
Okay,
right?
So February 1st, though, is when it will, according to Passan there, when it could start to truly affect what
yeah,
we're seeing
because,
spring training.
Because generally they start reporting right around Valentine's Day. So it's usually mid-February that pitchers and catchers start to report. And I think they need a couple of weeks to like be
ready
for that. So I think that's why that's sort of a deadline that is put out there, you know, of trying to make sure they get things done in time.
So these next 2 weeks are really the most critical if the season's going to start.
And now
on
it's sort of in the players' hands, right? Like the players have received the opening offer really from the league. I wish it hadn't taken over 40 days for them to get that done, but okay. The league gave them an offer. It's not good enough. It doesn't address a lot of the concerns, but at least it was like a step in that direction. There were some level of concession. So now it's up to the players to try to figure out what's most important to them to write back and come up with their own proposal and actually, you know, be in a room together and keep negotiating. The fact that it wasn't a 7-minute, hey, we'll see you in a few months meeting, I think that's a positive sign that they're actually going to try to negotiate with each other. I'm sure there's a lot of animosity built up. I don't think there's a lot of trust between these two groups, and I'm sure they're going to fight about it quite a bit. And I'm sure we'll get a moment here in the next couple of weeks where it looks like hope is lost because one side just hates the other and vice versa. And they're also playing the PR game, right, and trying to make the other side seem to be ridiculous. The owners are greedy. The players want too much. Someone's going to screw up the fabric of the game. This side is trying for better competitive balance. I mean, there's a lot of issues at stake here. And there really are some legitimate ones that they've got to figure out. Like the free agent system doesn't really work well. And, you know, players are getting paid at the wrong times in their career. And guys, you know, some of the best players in the game make nothing. Meanwhile, you got guys over the age of 30 who can't find a job because they were making too much money. So, like, they've got to find a way to fix all of that. And it's not easy. But the fact that they're at least talking about it, to me, that's at least a wonderful start.
That's
here.
True.
So I was at least encouraged by what happened yesterday. And, you know, look, you got a Mariner team that I can't wait to talk about every day. I can't wait to watch this team. There's so many interesting players on it. You're going to watch Robbie Ray, Cy Young Award winner from last year every 5 games. You got an interesting young pitching staff. We spent the time yesterday talking about George Kirby. Julio Rodriguez is going to play for the Mariners at some point this year. Jared Kelnick is going to become Jared Kelnick, I hope, this year. And show us what he did in September, not what he did in when we first got called up. So there's some real things to get excited about as a baseball fan right now, but they got to fix some of this stuff.
One of the big ones, speaking of Julio, is service time manipulation, right?
Yeah.
So would that, I don't know, I don't want to say this is going to change how or when we see Julio this year, but isn't that a part of when they bring players up and what it means for them in terms
it could,
of financial
yeah,
implications?
I mean, one of the things the union wants is they want players to come up when they're ready, not wait
when
a couple of months.
Convenient financially.
To me, that seems like I think of all the issues for them to fight about, that one seems ridiculous to me. There seem to be so many other bigger issues than the service time manipulation thing, but... You know, I would give that one up as the players because I think that what they should be fighting for is to get to free agency after 5 years instead of 6.
Yeah.
Right? They should be fighting to make sure that the guys who were in sort of years 2 through 5, which is really the crux of when you're great players, that those guys are getting paid rather than making minimum and then the early parts of arbitration. And so, you know, I thought the owners actually had a decent idea of using a new arbitration formula based on war rather than based on just fighting back and forth. I think there's some value to some of that stuff. But in the meantime, they're going to fight and they're going to, you know, try to make each other look bad publicly. And hopefully, when it's all said and done, we'll end up with a deal that makes sense for everybody. All right. I said it's flavor blasted. It's bigger and better than before. It is the NFL flavor wild card blasted. Weekend. And it can't help it, right? Baseball's going to do that too, by the way. They're going to add a couple of playoff teams because, God forbid, there not be everybody in a league that gets into the playoffs. Pretty soon, we're just going to have a tournament with all 30 teams at the end of the year, and they can just go see what happens.
The birthday party where every kid gets a
You'll
present.
You'll play 162 games, but they won't matter for anything other than seeding when it's all said and done. What do we expect to see this weekend? That's next.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Our wild card weekend kicks off tomorrow. Three straight days of NFL playoff football. I make fun of it, but what am I going to not watch? I'm actually pretty excited about it. So let's see. What are we picking? Are we picking as a show, right? So the way we're working this out, I will tell you what I think, and then Justin and Maura have the opportunity to overrule me together. But two out of three wins. So you guys have to both agree to overrule, right? Otherwise, there's a majority. So
it's her and I versus you. It couldn't be any of the other
I don't know.
Combinations.
Oh, is that how it is? Okay, fine. But you guys have to both agree to overrule me on it.
Okay.
All right, what do we got? Give me the games. What are we looking at?
A little mood music here first.
Gotta have it.
All right. Let's see. First up, we'll go in order here. It's actually Justin's team first. By the way, he is bangled out today.
Yeah. He's wearing satin.
You not a satin guy?
I don't own a lot of satin, I'll be honest.
You talking about this whole thing? This little satin
jacket? The old starter number.
Yeah.
All right.
This one's easy, obviously. Next.
So it's the Bengals versus the Raiders, the number 4 and 5 seed, Saturday at 1:30.
Yeah, Raiders win on a missed chip shot field goal. Burrow throws for 450 yards in a loss.
Wow.
Oh, you're saying Evan McPherson's going to miss a chip shot field goal at the end of the game.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
No. No.
You sure?
It's not happening.
You sure? You've been a Bengals fan for how long?
I have to. Exactly.
You don't think Burrow throws for 450 yards and loses?
Are you telling me if I just suddenly now stop believing in the Bengals? Like, this would have happened 15 years ago.
I'm not asking you to not root for the Bengals. I'm asking you to be legitimately real about what's going to happen this weekend. The Raiders come in off that crazy win the other night.
They're gassed.
They win. They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati.
All right, so we have enough time. I'm going to rule because I already know what Justin's
What are you going with?
Is. I think Bengals actually looked really good down the stretch, and I don't think Joe Burrow is Andy Dalton, and I mean that in a good way. So I am taking the Bengals.
Let's go.
So
sucker pick.
Our show pick is the Bengals.
All right.
All right. Moving on, the evening game on Saturday is the Patriots and the Bills. It's supposed to be possibly single digits at that game, 30% chance of snow, and the Bills are the number 3 seed taking on the Patriots' number 6 seed. The Patriots have 13 players listed as questionable.
That's
for this game.
Only 13? I'm taking the Patriots anyway. Josh Allen throws two picks, including a pick six. Low scoring game. Mac Jones only throws 22 passes. Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo for the second time this year.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
They already did it once. What are you talking about?
I can't see it happening. Not with the amount that has been, the amount of pressure and the amount of kind of everything's on the line for Josh Allen to come through at this game. I think that they'll...
Just out of curiosity, who's Josh Allen? Who's the coach he's playing against? He's just some chump, right? Just some random dude? Yeah, good idea. You know what you should definitely do is pick against Bill Belichick
against Bill Belichick
Let
in the
playoffs. Let me know how that goes. Maura, what's the show pick?
So I did a playoff bracket yesterday, and I actually picked the Bills.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm nervous. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm nervous for this game. You know what it is? It's yes, you have Belichick, but even though Mac Jones has been one of the better rookie quarterbacks, he still does not look great most of the time.
You guys are going chalk.
Playoff game, too much pressure. People are going to jump through tables from the top ropes.
That's fine.
All right. Moving on. Let's see. Sunday, the first game is Tampa Bay, Philadelphia. This one seems pretty easy, right?
What a lousy game, by the way.
Number 2 seed in Tampa versus the number 7 seed in
Brady
the Eagles.
Takes care of business. Hurts throws for 150 yards, but runs for 100.
Okay.
I think we can probably all agree.
Yeah, it's probably pretty safe.
Gotta go with the Bucs.
Yeah,
sorry.
Gotta go
that one's pretty easy.
Bruce Arians going to have a great game. I can already tell.
Okay, next up, we have the Cowboys-Niners. This is kind of cool, kind of an old rivalry renewed at 1:30 on Sunday. It is the Cowboys are the number 3 seed, Niners are the number 6.
Probably the game I'm most looking forward to watching, honestly. It seems like a really good game of two kind of, you know, styles makes fights and all that. I know the Niners have some quarterback issues, but I think Dallas wins. I think, in fact, they cruise to a victory. 6 sacks for Dallas in this game. Dak looks solid. Quarterback issues for the Niners. As much as I love Debo, and I think Ayuk's a really good player as well, and they got some dudes. Like, San Francisco's got some guys that match up a lot better against every team other than the Seahawks, but I think Dallas cruises to victory in this one.
I'm with you. If I had to choose between, like, chewing and swallowing fiberglass or insulation or rooting for the Niners, I would choose rooting for the Niners, but it would be close. So I'm definitely going Cowboys on this.
Okay, so you're still all chalk, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You said the Niners have some guys, and they do, but they have one guy I don't believe in, and that is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, well, that
I'm going with Dak. All right, we've got Sunday at 5:15, the number 2 seed Chiefs taking on the number 7 Steelers, who Ben Roethlisberger told us yesterday probably don't even belong in the playoffs. Yeah. We're just going to have fun.
Blowout next. I don't think the Steelers have a shot in this game. Honestly, of all the games, this would be the one I would feel most confident in, which probably means it'll be the best game of the weekend. The Steelers will take it down to the wire, and maybe they'll end up winning.
Just, the only reason
I hesitated was, remember when Hasselbeck was telling us how much film he watched? He thought that Hill and Kelsey both left that game injured, but they're...
I don't care.
They're cleared to play and everything. So as long as they're out there, I think I agree with you. So all right, so we're agreeing on these.
That's the easiest call.
Last one.
All right, I think we're done. Oh, I don't think we have to do anymore. I think we're good. Anyway,
you guys
coming up
gotta
next.
Gotta do it.
No.
Rams Cardinals Monday 5:15.
We talked about how we all had to be Cardinals fans here, right?
Well, you debated. Do you want to hear Matt Stafford's wife?
Let me hear some Kelly Stafford.
How many 49ers fans were at the last game and how they need to not let that happen this time?
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit, and there are a lot of good traveling teams there, but that was wild. Like, Matthew was on a silent count. Jimmy Garoppolo was not. Who's the opposing quarterback? I've never seen anything like that, but it made it very hard for us.
Sad.
Yep. We obviously all want the Cardinals to win, but, like, do I think they will?
No. Are you going to actually force me to pick either the Cardinals or Matt Stafford? I think Stafford... Oh, God, because Cliff Kingsbury's team is such a choke artist. I'm rooting for the Cardinals against my better judgment. I think Stafford gets his first playoff win against... I just can't believe in that Arizona team. Now, I think Stafford throws at least a couple of picks, tries to give the game away, and is not the hero when it's all said and done. But they're one and done. They win this game, and then that's it.
Justin? Okay.
I'm going A.J. Green goes off. Kyler Murray does have the game of his life. Cliff Kingsbury said he was going to have. He's waited 3 years for this moment. Cardinals win this
game. All right, I changed my mind. I'm with you. That sounds like more fun. Let's go with that.
Well, I was going to go Rams, so I guess we're picking Cardinals.
No, we're going Cardinals. Right. I changed my mind. There's no way Matt Stafford's going to win a playoff game. Are you kidding me? All right, there you go. Those are our picks for the weekend. So did we go all chalk? No. Yes. Yeah, you guys went all chalk.
I think so.
You guys just thought this. You thought that the favorite would win every game.
That's true. Well, no, because you guys picked the Cardinals.
They're not the.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's true.
The Rams are number 4 seed.
Get out of here.
Mora went all chalk. Mora thinks the favorite's going to win every game. If that happens, hey, I guess it'll be a new day.
Let's
in the
change
NFL.
To Patriots, and that's what I want to happen.
Well, no, it's too late. You've already taken the Bills, and we're going to make fun of you on Tuesday if you're wrong. All right, coming up next, we will talk to Brock Huard. What does he think went down in the big meeting yesterday? That's next.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Michael.
Are you ready for the big flavor-blasted, even wilder wild-card weekend?
I am. I think I'm more ready for, what did Morris say, the white plume of smoke to come out of the VMAC?
Exactly.
I mean, something.
You think that's where the meeting is? We've been trying to figure out more details on the meeting. Like, do you think Jody comes to the VMAC for the meeting? No. They go to like
Vulcan,
maybe, or you know, there was a suggestion maybe on a on a yacht or on a plane. I mean, like, who knows where this meeting takes place?
Yeah. Do we think it has taken place?
Do
we think we're actually going to hear something, or do we think, like many times with the Seahawks over the last couple years,
it's
been so quiet that you don't really hear anything? How long did it take before we heard of Pete and John's extensions?
Well, I was wondering about that. If there is indeed, and I know everyone will talk about it here, the speculation about some sort of a change with personnel, structure, etc. I don't know that we'll ever hear that.
Correct.
I wouldn't. If I were them, I wouldn't say a word about it. What are you going to do? You're going to clip Pete? Why? Why would you take away some of, you know, the there's no reason to embarrass him if that's what happened.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's enough animosity in the fan base? They need something. Is there enough anger after a disappointing season that you better do something? So we better appease, and not that you make a move to appease the fan base, but you just make it public in that way. Do you feel like that has to happen at all?
Or, no.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's this.
I don't think they're going to do that.
And
so.
Yet with Michael Silver and Adam Schefter and others reporting that, hey, this meeting is happening, you would think that there's going to be some sort of news coming out of this meeting, but maybe not. Maybe not. And certainly the longer it goes, it leans towards that trend that, yep, they handle their business internally. That's what they do. That's how they've done it the last few years. That's how they've done it with extensions for Pete and John. And you know what? You'll hear from them maybe at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Or if Jody and her team demands some changes, some new voices on that coaching staff, you know, may quite possibly. But, man, it sure is annoying refreshing my phone every 15 minutes, I'll tell you that.
Is that what you're doing? Is that why you're having difficulty breathing? What's going on?
No,
are you
I
okay?
just had a, I apologize. I had a burp I was sitting on.
Oh, yeah. You want to just let it out?
No, I'm good
let
now.
It go, dude. No, that's fine. I mean, this is our time together. You can let that go. I want you to be comfortable.
I'm good.
I can tell also, something's going on.
Yes, you know what else is? I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you what else is going on.
Yeah.
I had one of the weirdest dreams of my life.
Oh, were you eating candy corn last night?
Nope.
No.
But I kind of double melatonin.
Oh, that'll do it. Yeah.
It does. Okay. And I was wrestling Arn Anderson.
Don't know who that is?
Arn Anderson?
Nope.
Oh, really?
No.
I believe part of the Four Horsemen.
He sounds like he's the man of your dreams.
Whew, it was a brutal match, too. I'm getting my head beat in. I get thrown off the top. I mean, it was a... And the disappointing thing is it never came to a culmination, kind of like the Seahawks news. Maybe that's what it is. I'm waiting for, you know, it was like we separated at night. We were going to come back the next day and finish the match. And then I woke up. So it was just a bizarre night.
All right. Well, can we talk a little bit about the playoffs here?
When do they start?
They start tomorrow. I don't know whether you've heard. Are you calling any upsets? Mora went chalk. In every game, she went with the favorite. Justin only had one, which was, I think, Arizona over the Rams, where he was going with the underdog.
Ooh.
My two upsets were, I think Vegas beats Cincy, and I think the Patriots beat the Bills.
I think the Patriots could beat the Bills. I think the 49ers can beat Dallas.
Really?
I do. I think that win over the Rams over the weekend in their building, and I know they've always perennially had success against them, but just from a Pete Carroll balanced formula of being able to play defense, being able to rush the passer, being able to win the line of scrimmage, of having one, and we've seen guys just take off, and his career is already taking off, but using the playoffs to really put it on a rocket ship, and Deebo Samuel is special,
man. I love him.
Not just as a slot receiver.
Have I mentioned you before how much I love Deebo Samuel?
You love Deebo.
I really do. I've liked him from the second I saw that guy. I think he's great.
So if they don't get blown out, if they don't give up big plays, if they don't, you know, because if they fall down, Jimmy, I don't think, can dig them out. But if that's just a, you know, a rock 'em, sock 'em, close,
yeah,
kind of keep it close.
I just think that Dallas defense, man, give them the opportunity, six sacks or so on Jimmy, and then, you know, the interceptions
they get up, yes, and get to play that style of game,
yeah,
but if they can run it, and the Niners have gotten hot here down the stretch, that's a sneaky one. And then the weather, you know, that's a big story yesterday with Josh Allen and cold temperatures, and the weather's going to be chilly,
yeah,
in Buffalo, like 3 or 4 degrees. He's not perennially played well. And the whole key in that one, I was actually looking at some numbers before jumping on with you and trying to also rationalize my Arn Anderson dream. The teams that blitz, like if you can blitz Mac, like what happened to Mac Jones, right? They were 9-3, 9-4, unbelievable. Oh my gosh, they found their QB, and then they just stumble and bumble down the stretch. Well, teams started to pressure him. And every game that he's been pressured more than 10 times, he's like 1-7. When he's pressured in single digits, he's 7-0. So if you, you know, part of the reason they went to Buffalo in that winter storm beyond and just threw it every time was they did not allow the blitz heaviest team in the league, the Bills, to blitz Mac Jones and make a mistake. So I don't think it's going to be quite the conditions it was in that matchup, but I do think New England's going to have to throw it more than four times, but they're not going to throw it a lot. They know those numbers. They know he's not great against pressure. And if they, too, can take a lead, keep it just ugly, keep it close, yeah, they've got a chance to go in there.
I think one of the strangest things that will happen, it won't be until Monday, but one of the strangest things that will happen this week is that either Matt Stafford or Cliff Kingsbury will get a playoff win.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those things now has to happen.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give. Which one do you think it is?
I think Matthew Stafford gets a playoff.
That's what I think, yes, but I really don't want it to happen, and so I'm going to say it's the Cardinals because I just.
So you're
I
really rooting against him?
I really, yeah, and the
you
whole
don't
Rams
hate
thing.
Him. You yeah, just don't think he's that good.
No, I kind of hate him
why
and his
do you
wife.
Hate Matt?
I just kind of hate
why?
Them all.
Why?
Well, why not? He is the prototypical frat boy, overrated Georgia quarterback.
Oh,
he's been
gosh.
Overrated his entire life. He seems like, I don't like Matt Stafford at all.
His teammates love him. His communities love
so,
him.
So, you know,
his
you always bring that up, his teammates love him, like I care. What do I care whether his teammates love him?
Hang on, I'm just updating
who
the
cares?
List of people.
Ben Roethlisberger's teammates love him.
No, I don't
know. Quandre Diggs endorsed him, so that did mean a little something to me.
I don't care. It means zero
Justin,
to me.
Justin,
I don't endorse him.
Justin, I'm not there for 4 hours a day every day like you are. Yeah. And I think you've been brought into this mix to shower, Mike, with joy, with love, some of the fruits of the spirit, you know.
Yes,
I think you guys next week after the playoffs, depending on what happens, because if Roethlisberger and Stafford win, ugh, Mike is going to be so irascible, so full of hate. I think you need to do a session with him.
Dude, it's not even just those two. What if Josh Allen wins? I mean, like, honestly, there's some people I hate
in Derek Carr
in this mix.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
You could be diabolical.
I could
week.
Be. Yes. I know. Yeah. So, thankfully, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have a chance. I mean, Kansas City is going to blow them out.
Just gird your loins, Justin, and just prepare yourself for maybe a session. Maybe just I don't know, you're a creative guy. You've got all those voicemails. Maybe you put something together to sprinkle and try to just squeeze out some of this hate, especially for like a Matthew Stafford. That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
You can judge him as a terrible player. You could think he's overrated on the football field.
Good.
You can think that he's not good.
Yes.
But as far as a human being, a leader, a teammate in the community with his wife, his
family.
And
I don't
family.
Care about his what he does. I mean, I'm not talking about whether he's good in the community. I'm sure he's great in the
good
community.
Good in the locker room. Good on the practice field. Good with coaches.
He's so good in the locker room and so good at that stuff that he won exactly zero playoff games during his decade in Detroit.
We'll talk Monday.
Bye, goodbye. Brock. There you go. Bye. Have a good weekend. Brock Heward every day at 7:45 here in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. All right. From Brock to G. Jeez, I'm really asking for it today. I told you I was in a good mood when I started the show. How will I feel by the end? How will I feel in the next 5 minutes? I guess we'll all find out together. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.